Our guest tonight is Jay Widener, the film Shooting Stanley Kubrick, the director, allegedly, T. Patrick Murray. What does all of this mean? We're taking your calls. Everything is jammed up for the duration of the night. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George Norrie. He's away on holiday. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. You can follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. Simple enough to do. Use the hashtag F2B, that's the sandbox, and you can come and hang out with everybody that is enjoying the show tonight and talking with each other. We are talking with writer-filmmaker Jay Widener tonight. The subject is Shooting Stanley Kubrick. It's a video that was released yesterday all over the net, stormed up, allegedly shot in 1999, but now it appears that it's an actor, and his name is Dr. Thomas Edward Myhick. And it's very strange indeed. We are now, it is Friday night, so we are taking your calls for the rest of the evening. And let's get straight to it. Let's go to Wildcard Bill in West Hartford, Connecticut. Say hi to Jay Widener.
Yes, hi, Jimmy, and hi, Jay. Yes, hi. Hi, Jay Widener. Hi. Jimmy, let me first say I'm an amateur astronomer. I'm age 65. I lived through Apollo. I have the DVD sets of all the moon landing missions, plus Apollo 8, which orbited the moon. And I'm going to, in the near future, get the other Apollo missions that orbited the moon with the LEM but did not land. I'm an expert on Apollo. Let me say two things. We did land on the moon. Now, point number one, back in the early 1970s, when I was nearby here in University of Hartford in West Hartford, Connecticut, we had an engineer come from Hamilton Standard, which was and still is in East Hartford, Connecticut. Now it's called Hamilton Sunstrand. Well, Hamilton Standard was the prime contractor for the PLSS, P-L-S-S, meaning Portable Life Support System, meaning, in other words, the backpack that the astronauts wear connected to their spacesuits outside the lunar module on the lunar surface. And he came to University of Hartford. It was either the fall of 1971 or maybe it was January, February 1972, during the time frame of Apollo 15, 16, and then later Apollo 17. And he talked about not only the PLSS, the backpack in general, but the Apollo missions and so forth. So that's number one. Number two, the second point is, there's a DVD I want to tell you about briefly and read you a very short paragraph. A DVD I wish you would read, Jimmy, and also you, Jay, as well, called Moon Machines by the Science Channel, a Discovery company. It's one DVD with six segments. They're each an hour-long segment. With episodes include, these are from a technological and engineering point of view, and if you watch these this one DVD, six each one is an hour long, it shows from an engineering technological point of view that Apollo is a scientific and engineering fact. The segments are the Saturn V rocket, the
Bill, let me jump in here really quick. I've seen the series. I'm sure that Jay has too as well. It's fascinating. But we have a lot of calls here. What's your question?
Don't misunderstand my position, Guy, because I'd never said we didn't go to the moon. I never said that. I said what we're being shown is fake. So that there's a completely different point of view there. I don't even believe that you can take ektachrome film in an unprotected camera up to the surface of the moon and be able to successfully shoot photographs. So, that is one of the reasons why they had to fake it. So all that technology, sure, it's all real. I never said that they didn't have backpacks.
Let me say one brief thing. Besides the ektachrome film, on the last three missions, 15, 16, and 17, there was a much better quality color TV camera. There's hours of video from nine moonwalks, three moonwalks for 15, three for 16, three for Apollo.
Well, they release
the lunar rover.
Why don't they release this great, awesome videotape?
They've been out for years. It's www.spacecraftfilms.com.
Okay.
Crap. They should call that Space Crap Films. That's the worst stuff I've ever seen. Are you kidding me? That stuff, you can't even see it. It's so obfuscated. It's clearly not first generation. It's copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. It's absolutely unwatchable. And I don't know what you're saying. Anyone who has those DVDs can can look at that and say, this is some of the worst crap I've ever seen.
I have them, and they're clear. Some of
them
too.
Hard
terrible. To see, but a lot of it is clear. I have it. Keep in mind, they're made in the 21st century.
It's all terrible.
Okay, guys, one at a time here. And Bill, I appreciate your position in the phone call. I want to thank you for that. But Jay's position has never been that we haven't been to the moon. That's not the position here. And the technology and getting out there and the moon machines, and it's all fascinating. Nobody's arguing those points, Bill.
Well, let me say briefly, if you agree that we went to the moon, why don't you agree that NASA could have developed 35-millimeter cameras with film, still and movie on the moon, take photos on the moon? Why not?
Excuse me, because I've held the 70-millimeter cameras. I haven't held them. I've seen the cameras. That NASA's admitted that the Hasselblad did not adjust the cameras in any way. They were straight ahead. The Hasselblad 70-millimeter cameras filled with...
35 millimeter.
No,
70.
No, 35.
Unprotected. No, I think you're wrong about that.
Okay. Hey, Bill, thank you for the phone call, and you have a great, safe night. Let's go to Thomas in San Diego, California, on the wild card line. Thomas, welcome to Coast to Coast AM. Say hi to Jay Widener.
Thank you, Jimmy, for taking my call. And Jay Widener, it's an honor and a pleasure to speak with you. I wanted to ask about Director Hyams, H-Y-A-M-S,
yes.
And he was like a friend and protege of Stanley Kubrick, and he made two movies. First movie was Capricorn One, which was essentially about the first Mars manned mission and the faking of the videos for the first Mars manned vision.
I really like you. You know that?
And
you're opening up a huge question. Hyams knew Kubrick, and in fact, he did a movie called, I think it was Outland. Did he do a movie called Outland?
And he did 2010, too.
And he did 2010, but Outland, what was amazing about Outland was that the whole movie was done with front screen projection, and Kubrick was he was giving advice to him on the set so that he did this front screen projection perfectly, and that's how that Kubrick did the moon landing. So we have this director who's friends with Stanley Kubrick, who does a film about faking the Mars moon landing, Capricorn One. Two, he makes a film called Outland, which is using all of Stanley Kubrick's incredible techniques he developed in 2001 and in the Apollo footage. And then finally, he makes the sequel to 2001.
Yes, I wanted to add another thing, if I may, Jay Widener, is that Hyams gave an interview at the time that he released Capricorn One. And he gave an interview to the Los Angeles Times, and the Los Angeles Times reporter asked him directly if he felt that the moon videos were faked, and he made a casual comment that he said everybody in Hollywood knows that these were done on a soundstage. And then apparently Hyams' career was in question, and so Kubrick handed him 2010, which was a spectacular movie and saved Hyams' career.
Yeah, it's a great story out here in Hollywood, Thomas, and thank you for that. I mean,
and you're right. Yes. You're right, man, because everybody in Hollywood does know it.
Thank you for the phone call, Thomas, and you have a great, safe weekend. Let's go to, let's see who's up next here. Let's just go to international. Let's go to Mike in Montreal, California. Mike, welcome to Coast AM.
Well, good evening, but it's Montreal in Canada.
Oh, what did I say?
You said California.
Montreal, California. It's a new metropolitan area here.
Very French.
Okay. Anyway, your prior caller, the expert on the moon landing, almost touched on a point which is the one point that's really always niggled at the back of my mind. I'm an electronics engineer, but I have a tremendous fascination for physics as well, and particularly the Apollo program. And there have been a few little points that always bothered me, but the one major point that anybody with a little knowledge of physics would know, and there must be millions and millions of people, and I've never understood why it's never really came out, is the essential fact that human beings could not pass through the Van Allen radiation belts without a tremendous amount of lead shielding, or they would be toast. And obviously, they could not have done it. That's the one thing that I just cannot get my head around.
Well, I agree with you, and it's fascinating to watch the Apollo apologists try their best to say 70 different ways around how this occurred. But you're absolutely right. In fact, NASA's own studies have shown that you cannot travel outside about 200 miles above the Earth without 6 feet of lead shielding, or you will be fried. And that's not just within the Van Allen belt, that's out in deep space also, which is why they're having such a problem. But if you had a craft that could go really, really fast, then you could shoot through the Van Allen belt in, say, a split second, and the radiation wouldn't affect you. So again, I go back to this whole idea that there's other technologies that have been developed, and I think a lot of the UFO sightings that we've been seeing over the last 70 years are probably more likely our stuff using high advanced technologies.
Thank you for the call, Mike, and I want you to have a great, safe weekend. Let's go to west of the Rockies. Let's go to Peggy in Yahats, Oregon. Peggy, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Oh, hi. Thank you, Jimmy. And hi, Jay. This is Peggy Brewster. I'm on the West Coast now.
Oh, my goodness.
I used to live
in Oregon.
Yeah, I'm back on the West. You know, I think you and I have the same kind of ideas. I'd like to get your thoughts. My thoughts on all this is that the technology that's coming out with all these secret space program conferences, and there's a lot of conferences, Tory Good, David Wilcock, who's like getting wilder and wilder on his show, all these things are coming together as a perfect storm, kind of coming to a head where something's going to come out, and this is just one way to confuse everybody and find a way to discredit people, you especially, and just throw chaos into the mix. What do you think?
I completely agree with that, and I'm really, you know, T. Patrick Murray, you must know that you don't want me investigating you, but now I am. And I'm going to continue to investigate him because I want to know, I want to get to the bottom of this whole thing, because I really do believe that it's exactly what you're saying, Peggy. It's a direct assault on the good and credible researchers. And I think the flat Earth thing is the same thing. I've traced it back to NASA, essentially. The guy who, the modern version of the flat Earth, basically is saying in public that he got the idea while he was working at NASA. And I think these are all thrown in so that any knowledge of the secret space program and all of the things that are about to come out about it, and the idea that our government has been hiding technology which can free us and our planet from the tyranny that we're under right now, in the blink of an eye, I think that is the greatest revelation that is about to happen, and they know that, and they're throwing mud into the water, and I think this Stanley Kubrick thing is part of that whole process.
Yeah. Well, good work. Keep it up, and good to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Peggy. Have a great, safe weekend. That's a good point. I don't want to get past this, Jay, which is, why put the flat Earth right there in the title of the video?
Exactly. It's like, what? I could not figure that out, but I think it was a link and trying to, you know, I don't know, man. This is like some of the most bizarre stuff I've ever been involved in. This whole shooting Stanley Kubrick thing. I mean, it's just a head scratcher from day one. It's like, why go through the effort? Why do all this? And I think it's just what Peggy just said. I think it's just, they realize that the truther community is the only community left that has any credibility, and so they're targeting us with some of the most fascinating psyops ever. But the thing is that's so fascinating about this whole thing is somebody uploaded those outtakes and destroyed the whole psyop. And that, to me, is the biggest mind blower, because that tells me that there must be white hats running around in the gray out there, you know.
A few of them. Yes, a few of them.
A few of them. And that is not just that incident alone is not just an isolated incident. There are many, many, many proofs in recent events that there is a war going on between two groups, and we don't know what the war is about, who they're fighting, but each group is trying to bring down the other group, and they're both very powerful, and they're both at the center of some kind of infighting, I think.
And there's
part of that.
Yes, exactly. And there's one other thing that we need to kind of look at, which is we have the Stanley Kubrick, Apollo, we have the issues right now with our own space program, but you have this flat earth movement that's going on right now, and it's picking up steam.
Yes.
And what better words to use than flat earth if you're going to try to generate something viral? And combine flat earth to Kubrick and Apollo, and boom, the next thing you know, this is a snowball rolling downhill, and it got big quick.
It is exactly right. And, you know, the whole thing is like beautifully conducted almost, like the conductor at the symphony orchestra. And I'm amazed because the level of subversion that these ideas are creating within the truther community threatens it completely. And I'll give you an example. What Peggy was just talking about, Corey Good and David Wilcock are really going off into some really into some areas about the secret space program, which have never really been revealed. But if you go to any site where any of these revelations are taking place, YouTube, and you look at the comments, the first four or five comments are usually pretty good, but then the flat earthers take over. And they say, oh, this is all bunk because there is no space program and the earth is flat, and they take over every single conversation and really make us all look like a bunch of kooks. And I know I'm pissing off a lot of people right now in the flat earth movement, but I'm sorry. And I can prove the flat earth isn't real anyway. But these are the kinds of histrionics that our opponents are now attempting to use on us. And I think the Kubrick thing, what amazes me about the Kubrick thing, the shooting Stanley Kubrick thing, is the amount of interest in the subject. That is mind-blowing. I mean, this thing is through the ceiling.
It took minutes, Jay. It took absolute minutes for this to take off. And we're going to be headed up against a break here. We're going to be taking more of your calls right after this. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We are talking about the Stanley Kubrick alleged 1999 videos that were released yesterday on the net and took off. Everything blew up, but we figured it out fairly quickly. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. More of your calls right after this. Follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. Twitter is live to my left. We'll be back right after this. Stay with us. Every time I hear that 818-501 number, I just stop in my tracks. I used to live across the street from the studios here. You could walk down the hallway, look out the windows, and look at my old condominium right here. And I used to look up at this building every single day. It just blows my mind. Could there be a UFO that has been spotted in the Martian sky? The latest discovery by Martian anomaly watchers may be a game changer. That's right. As a researcher studying photos from the Curiosity rovers believes he has spotted a UFO in the sky above Mars. Check out the images. Read the article right now on the front page of Coast to Coast AM. Our guest tonight is Jay Widener. We're taking your calls for the rest of the evening. Jay Widener has spent his career studying the films of Stanley Kubrick, the hidden messages and the meanings. And then yesterday, it all broke loose. A 1999 alleged video of an interview of Stanley Kubrick. That's what we're discussing tonight. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George. He's away on holiday. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I am sitting in for George tonight. He is at home with his family. Let's go straight back to the phones. Our guest tonight is Jay Widener, and his research into the symbolism behind the films of Stanley Kubrick, what the impact is with the Apollo missions and the possible hoax that has been laid upon us, is what he does. And yesterday, it all broke loose on the internet with this alleged 1999 video interview, and then they used Jay's good name in the 30-minute preview of the new film. So with that, let's go straight back to the phones. Wild card, Ryan in St. Louis. Welcome to Coast AM. Say hi to Jay Widener.
Morning, gentlemen. In the movie by Stanley Kubrick, Full Metal Jacket, I've watched this movie, and he does not refer to the flak vest that they wear in the movie. When Pyle commits suicide, Joker asks him what kind of rounds he had in the weapon, and he goes, Full Metal Jacket, which means those were steel armor-piercing rounds. That's the only reference in the entire movie to Full Metal Jacket.
Jay?
For some reason, that broke up on me quite a bit, so I didn't quite get what he was asking.
Okay, you want to ask the question again for us?
No, the statement that I made was that in the movie Full Metal Jacket, that Stanley Kubrick was not talking about the metal flak vest that they wore. He was talking about the rounds in a weapon.
I know that.
Pyle used.
I know what a Full Metal Jacket is. I was talking symbolically about the title being Full Metal Jacket, as if when you go into the Marine Corps, you build a full metal jacket around your body, to protect your rid of your humanity.
Full Metal Jacket, sir, was the rounds.
Well, I understand that. I was talking
armor-piercing rounds that has nothing to do with what you. How
I never said it was a flak jacket.
As a that has nothing to do with it. The only time that they mentioned
I never said that, sir.
Right.
I never said that it had anything to do with the flak jacket. I said that it had to.
You
that
implied by saying that these people form a metal, shall we say, cocoon around them, which would, in to me, references a flak jacket.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never said that. So,
but thank you for the call, Ryan. And I understand, but there isn't any confusion here. He was referring to the symbolism of building a barrier around your body, and that's where it comes from. And growing up as a man, so
yeah, I'm pretty sure that Stanley intended that kind of double entendre. I knew it was the name of the jacket of a bullet. I knew that. It's fully explained in the movie. So
yeah, and thank you for the call, Ryan. Let's go to East of the Rockies, Eddie, all the way out there in New York City. Eddie, welcome to Coast AM.
Listen, what a great show you got tonight, man. It's really great. I have a comment and a question that I have to ask you. The comment is that, first of all, you could have phoned it in years ago about the fake moonwalk. I mean, this stuff, not only the fact that the Van Allen radiation belt was in the way, but there were other discrepancies in what we saw on the moon, like the waving of the flag in the wind, when, of course, there's no atmosphere on the moon. And there were other discrepancies about the moon. I mean, double lighting come from two sides in the pictures that were taken. Also, the Hasselblad cameras that they had. Hasselblad camera is a very difficult camera to work with, as it is. And these guys had spacesuits on, and they were trying to manipulate the cameras, and they got beautiful pictures. There's all of these things that were on there, plus there was no dirt on the pods of the limb. The pods were totally
exactly
clean, shiny. I mean, you could have served fried chicken in there.
You're right.
Some of the discrepancies, and And at the time that this happened, that they were questioning the moonwalk, this guy from Rocketdyne, a scientist from Rocketdyne, mentioned that they faked the moonwalk. He said there's no way they could have gone to the moon. And I believe it, because they couldn't, because they didn't have the technology. Now, if you can't go to the moon, what is the next thing you can do? You can make a simulation, a film, a video, whatever. And who best to do this, of course, would have been Stanley Kubrick. I mean, he's the master. He's the best.
He's the man.
And now, at the time, I remember, and I was wondering if you saw the documentaries at the time when this came out years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago, when they spoke about this, they showed a film clip supposedly that Stanley Kubrick made at that time. And this video that they showed sort of convinced me at the time that is a very strong possibility he did it.
Thank you. Well, yeah, thank you for the call, Eddie.
Did you ever see that video?
Yeah, I want to throw that over to Jay. I remember that. I remember those test shots.
I do want to see it.
Yeah, well, you know, he did some test shots of starlight in the background and how that was going to photograph and you know, testing the front projection versus rear and trying to get the lights correct, the starlight correct. And it was pretty shocking at the time.
I do want to address something that earlier phone call, earlier caller made, which is the DVDs that have the moon landings on them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want everybody to understand that when you get those spacecraft DVDs that, and you watch those, you're not watching videotape that was taken by NASA. What you're watching is videotape that has been videoed from a monitor at JPL onto another camera, second generation at least. And the other point I want to make is that because NASA didn't have any money, supposedly, they recorded over all of the original footage that they took of the Apollo landings. So they're gone. We have none of the video of the original footage of NASA. That's why I get so angry when people say that that stuff looks good, because it doesn't look good. I want to see, as a researcher, I want to see first generation. And I can't, because NASA taped over. It's sort of like, you know, Columbus, you know, shooting a video of his landing and then, you know, throwing it overboard on the way back.
EJ, can I ask you a question that I've always wondered about? I've heard these rumors and I've seen it in different documentaries, but the statement that the original broadcast that we saw on television in 1969, that brought what we were seeing on the screens was a television camera pointed at a large screen at the Space Center. And that's what we were seeing on TV. We weren't seeing a direct camera feed from the surface of the moon.
That is exactly right. Somebody, please explain that to me.
Well, I wanted you to explain that to me.
Well, it's not explainable. If
okay.
NASA can get the feed down to JPL, why can't they get the feed to CBS on a direct line? Why make the networks take a clunky, you know, 1960s video camera and shoot into a monitor, which you got people who don't understand what I'm saying, don't understand how much that obscures the original. Now, today in the digital world, it doesn't do it as much, but in those days, there were cross patterns going on, and it seriously deteriorates the image, and that's all we got, Jimmy. That's all we got now.
That's all we have. Out of focus fuzz, reproduced by out of focus fuzz. Let's go to Ed in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Ed, say hi to Jay Widener, and welcome to Coast AM.
Thank you for taking my call. Hey, Jimmy. Hey, Jay.
Hey.
Jay, thank you for all the information you've always shared and all of your body of work. I had a comment and a question. My comment is that I knew immediately that it wasn't Stanley Kubrick in those videos, of which there were so many videos that it was so discombobulated, some of them. And the whites of the person's eyes pretending to be Kubrick weren't low enough below the iris of his eye. The audio was so bad at times also. the seemingly lack of intellect that Stanley was well known to have. There was an investigative journalist who made a film questioning the same things in 1997, and he got an interview with the director of the Apollo mission at an actual model of the lunar landing craft, the LEM, at the National Space Museum in Houston. He asked the director of the mission how the astronauts with their huge spacesuits got in and out of the tiny hatch. And the director of the Apollo 11 mission tells the journalist that he never trained the astronauts either to enter or exit the LEM. The journalist is so incredulous as to what he had just heard, and it was James Collier, and he totally disappeared from the Earth. My question is, did you ever have any contact with James Collier, and could you potentially join forces to produce yet another important video documentary with him? He had one that was on YouTube, Was It Only a Paper Moon? And the last time I looked, it wasn't on there. It was deleted off of YouTube, and now it's back up again. So if anybody...
I had many phone conversations with documentary,
and if Coast to Coast can get a hold of James Collier, it would be great. He was also known for a book that he released about voter fraud in America. Thanks for taking my call, and take care.
Thank you, Ed.
Hey, yeah, so I knew James. I actually interviewed him on Vote Scam, which was a great book about the voting scam in America. And actually have a hilarious story about Vote Scam. But yeah, he's no longer with us. He died right after he made Paper Moon. I think it was a natural death. I hope it was. But he was a great guy, a really good researcher, and unfortunately he's no longer with us.
It was strange circumstances too. I don't want to go off on a right hand turn here, but it was strange timing, strange circumstances behind all of that. It's interesting that Ed brought it up.
In his, I think, 50s.
Yeah. He was a young guy. Yeah, absolutely.
Too bad. A real tragedy. He was a great guy.
Let's go to first time callers line. That sounds good. Let's go to John in San Francisco. John, welcome to Coast AM.
Yes, I've been listening to your show for a few years. It's the first time I've ever called. It's very interesting, the stories about the landing on the moon and whether the credibility is whatever it happens to be. I'm not here to challenge the views of your guest host pertaining to the movies and as you've seen, but I have a couple of questions for him. That is, first of all, do you believe that we and the Russians have people living above the Earth?
You mean in outer space?
Well, above the Earth, yes, just not.
Yeah.
Well, we do on the International Space Station right now.
Okay, you believe that, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
How do you think we got up there? By jets or by rockets, or how do we get there?
Well, I presume we got there by the way they show us, with rockets.
Well, do you have any belief in that for sure?
Do I have any belief in that?
Yes,
yeah, I do.
I mean, how do you believe it? What makes you believe it?
Well, John, are you going to the flat Earth scenario here? Yeah.
I'm asking a simple question. Do you believe in what you've heard, that we sent a rocket with people and that we're continuously sending supplies and food?
How about I told you that I've talked to people who've gone to this,
who have been in the space shuttle.
Actual astronauts. Are they lying? Are you saying they're lying?
I'm just asking you if you believe it. I'm trying to get credibility for you as a person. Do you believe it?
Yes, I do. I believe that you can get into low Earth orbit with rockets, yes.
No, okay, that's fine. We've established that. Now, do you think that those rockets have the ability to travel beyond where they are, where the people? Do you think they can do that?
Do I think
travel beyond that?
I don't know. I've never done it.
If you assume...
They're not doing it. NASA's not doing it. So outside of Apollo, they've never gone beyond low Earth orbit. So what are you asking?
Yeah, 400 miles is the limit.
Have the ability to travel as far as the moon.
Do I believe that they have the... Yes, not in rockets, though. No.
Okay, but the rockets have the ability to travel up to the moon.
Hey, John, I'm going to have to jump in here before we run out of time. I just want to know where you're going with this, and what's the question that you have for Jay? Yeah.
Well, I asked you several questions. You've already established the fact that he believes the rockets had the ability to reach the moon. The only question that he has is that did they go onto the moon? That's the issue. And I believe they did. He doesn't believe they did, but he believes they could have done it if they could have brought down it. So that's the issue. I think all of us that are listening to this throughout the country, hundreds of thousands of people, will want the same thing I'm asking him. If he can make credibility for himself, then somebody might believe something toward those films being incorrect. Thanks a lot. I'm going to say goodbye, and I'll listen to what you have to say. Goodbye.
Thank you, John.
Well, you know, he's got a good point, frankly, is that, yes, I do believe that a rocket could get us from the Earth to the Moon. My big problem with the whole lunar thing is getting from lunar orbit to the surface of the Moon and then back safely. Remember, they never successfully did a soft landing in any of their tests. Neil Armstrong nearly broke his neck on a soft, trying to do a soft landing, you know, right before the Apollo thing. So they never did a soft landing. A soft landing is without a parachute, where you're backing up onto the surface of the Moon using the thruster rocket to slow yourself down. So that has never been successfully done ever, and yet they did it six straight times on the Moon. I find that amazing. I find that, like, beyond belief, because I'm a technology guy, and I know that when you're dealing with technology, man, there's usually many, many, many errors before you get it right.
Well, I'm going to jump in, Jay, and say this. It's not... they give us, and I'm talking about Washington, D.C., NASA, JPL, they give us all of the reasons why to question everything. It's not us. If they didn't give us those reasons, and I'll tell you, I watched a video the other day, an interview on the International Space Station, and the astronauts there said in the interview, I'm not going to name names, but you can go check this out yourself, literally said, well, you know, the challenge is trying to get past 400 miles. It's the radiation. It's the Van Allen belt. And that's what we need to try to overcome so we can try to get to the Moon. They didn't say get back to the Moon.
Yep.
They didn't say, you know, and you see that. Well, what do you expect us to do? We're going to write our own answers and our own questions. We're going to start to question everything. And it's not a question of have we been there or not. They're giving us the reason to ask the questions,
okay,
and to speculate.
Briefly, I'll tell you the brief story. James Oberg is a science writer, and he was so sick of the moon landing conspiracies about 20 years ago that he went to NASA and he got a $20,000 contract to write a book proving that we went to the moon. He began asking NASA for this and that, same thing that I asked for in the early 1990s, that I never got any response back from NASA. And after about a year and a half of asking NASA for this evidence and that evidence, so he could prove their case, and they weren't helping him, he gave the $20,000 back in the book never got written.
And now he's retired. Tonight, our guest is Jay Widener. The film released yesterday, Shooting Stanley Kubrick. We're taking your calls for the rest of the night right here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Follow me on Twitter @JChurchRadio. We're going to do this till the end. We'll be right back.